I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two. We're here with Greg Jenner. Now, you're probably just as excited as I am because we're going to find... Okay, here we go. What defines a celebrity?
Right. So, okay. The weird thing is, when I came to write this book about the history of celebrity, I thought it'd be really easy because I'll just like Google what is a celebrity and then write the history. Turns out there is no definition. Literally, that sociologists, historians, philosophers have not agreed on a definition.
Are there any references?
Yeah, there are various different interpretations, but no one has gone, yes, that's what a celebrity is.
Okay.
Which is bizarre, right?
But there's always been the sort of celebrity throughout the...
So this is the huge question. So I can run you through the history or I can define it for you. What do you prefer?
Both.
All right, okay, let's define it. So I had to define celebrity so I could write a book about it. So I would say celebrity has 5 points in the checklist. Mm-hmm. You've got to be known to strangers, obviously. Yep. That needs to be achieved through the involvement of the mass media. There needs to be a commercial economy attached to your name that other people can make money from you.
Tick. Okay. Big industry.
Big industry. Cash flowing out the door. Yeah. Good. You have to be... that's been an emotional investment in your private life. So that people have to care about not what you do, but who you are. Who you're dating, what tattoos you've got, where you holiday, your opinions on things. Wow, so okay. David Attenborough, not a celebrity.
He's not a celebrity.
I know that's a very weird thing. And people...
I'd quite like to know who he's shagging.
Well, yeah, and I'd love to see him on Love Island. But apart from that...
Have you seen him in The Heather? That was actually his first ever documentary he did.
What are you doing in The Heather? Attenborough, nothing. Let's go all over the Highlands.
Yes.
So that's what you call a callback.
Exactly. So a 5-point checklist, but basically like you need the media, you need people to care about your private life. There needs to be money flowing out of it. You've got to be famous. Mm-hmm. There needs to be, you know, all this stuff. And so I would argue as a historian that celebrity begins in the 1700s. So in the book, I've got 125 celebrities I write about. And the earliest is in 1708, 1709.
Who is?
He's called Dr. Henry Sacheverell.
Ah, big fan.
Huge fan. Yeah. He's really big on Twitter. And he was a sort of furious, tub-thumping conservative churchman.
Right.
Not the kind of guy you'd expect to be the first celeb. He wasn't the sort of, you know, pirate or kind of sexy poet.
Was he doing personal appearances at different churches? Yeah.
So, literally, he gave a speech in St. Paul's Cathedral attacking the government for being too soft. The Church of England had gone too soft. And the government tried to try him for like treason, essentially. Couldn't quite get away with it. He ended up as a political martyr, divided the nation down the middle, and you were either for him or against him. And he had merch. There were souvenirs. There were plates with his face on them. People named their babies after him. Pub signs would have his face on it. You could get fans. You could get tobacco pipes. His speech was printed 100,000 times, and he posed for 16 different portraits. You could get little wax figurines of him.
He eventually became an EDM DJ, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Yeah, he's really big in Tenerife. He does a lot of big stuff.
My Halloween costume's sorted.
So he's got this amazing wig. He's got this sort of big flouncy frock coat. He's a sort of very grumpy, kind of, you know, 50-year-old something guy.
But he lived that long as well.
Yeah. And people lived in the 70s.
This is another subject.
This is a whole other thing.
Didn't die at like 20.
No. Okay, so he was incredibly famous. There were Sacheverell riots, so people rioted in the streets. He had to have bodyguards. He paraded. There were bonfires named in his honour. And he decided the election of 1710. So he helped the Tories win. So he was this incredibly famous, incredibly divisive. He was basically sort of a Nigel Farage type character, right? Yeah. Like you either hated him or loved him or whatever. And he split the nation down the middle and you chose
But he
a
was
side.
That influential?
That influential.
Oh my
So this
Lord.
Is 310 years ago.
That is insane.
Wow. Yeah, so that celebrity culture starts in what we call the Georgian era, the 18th century. And my book is full of actors and poets and, you know, sort of naughty people and criminals and sexy people and politicians and whatever, all of whom had sort of intense celebrity as we think of it now. And then before celebrity, you have something called fame.
Yeah.
And we use those interchangeably, right?
Yeah.
You're famous, famous.
Because what is fame, right? Then how do you define fame?
So fame is an ancient idea and it's a bit different. So fame comes from, it comes from two different places. In the Greek, it's fame, and she's a sort of goddess who pops your name in a trumpet.
Famous. Fame Lang.
Organised one. Can you fame me?
But in Latin poetry, particularly a poet called Virgil, Fama, F-A-M-A, where we get the word fame from, she's a monster. She's terrifying. She's like a huge Godzilla beast. Mm. And she's covered, her body is covered in eyes and ears and mouths and tongues. And she stalks the landscape. She never sleeps. The more someone's gossiping about you, the bigger she gets.
Sounds a little bit like Instagram.
Yeah, no, it really is. And so,
she never sleeps. That's terrifying.
She never sleeps. Oh, and her name, Fama, derives from fari, the Latin verb meaning to speak about. So basically, she's the goddess of gossip. And when she comes for you, she hunts you down like a ravenous wolf.
What's she called? Fama?
Fama,
she
F-A-M-A.
Would be a good Halloween outfit. Jesus.
Yeah, I'd be a really good Halloween
outfit. But that's a great kind of thing to people must have done, right? Just play around the sense of Fama and this growth of the gossip.
Yeah. And so that's where the word fame comes from. So the Romans had this dual meaning of fame. On the one hand, fame means glory, as in like Achilles, you know, who dies gloriously at Troy. And so glory could be given out to great poets, could be given out to great men. You know, Julius Caesar, when he died, they gave him a star. There was a star seen in the sky and he was turned into a star. And Geoffrey Chaucer, the 14th century English poet, gives us the word stellified.
Merchant's Tale.
Virtual Tale is Shakespeare, but various...
Shit. No, what am I...
Canterbury Tales.
Canterbury Tales. Yes.
God, looked over at me like,
you're thinking Merchants. Maybe Merchants is one of them. I can't remember.
The wicket to her slicket, or the...
Sorry.
It's just Chaucer. Oh, he always hides in pear trees.
Yeah, I mean, Chaucer is filthy. I mean, it's very funny. It's very, very
enjoyable. They are like a pair of balls.
There's a lot of shagging, a lot of farting in Chaucer.
It sounds like fame only exists in more like advanced cultures and civilizations then. Or do you get any like...
So what I would argue is that celebrity is fame with commercialism attached. Right. So if celebrity is basically all of that intensity where people are talking about you and gossiping about you, but the Romans didn't have a commercial economy for celebrity. Right. They had famous gladiators, they had famous charioteers. The highest paid sports person of all time was a Roman charioteer called Diocles. He earned billions in modern money.
He
phenomenally wealthy, like eye-wateringly wealthy.
So they did commercialize.
Well, they didn't have the same sort of branding that we do. They didn't have newspapers and media like
they needed an agent to come and go, do you know what? I think teeth whitening, I could really see you making a fortune.
Exactly, yeah. So celebrity culture has a lot of kind of power in the ancient world. You can sort of see the origins of it, but in the 18th century, we see actual money, we get the first daily newspaper in 1702 called the Daily Current. And we get a rising middle class who can read and write a bit more. And so you get a big public. And you also get boring kings, right? It's a slightly silly answer, but like you get dull kings, which means that all the posh people, the aristocrats, the musicians, the talented people are like, this guy, what a jerk. So they go back into the cities and they start entertaining the public instead. Right. So you get a sort of move away from the royal courts.
God, that must have grown like a whole...
So,
generation, right?
So in the 1720s and 1730s, Paris and London are the two hotbeds of celebrity culture. That's where celebrity is invented, really. And then it sort of gradually expands out. And then in 1800s, America gets it. But like my favorite ever celebrity from history is Edmund Kean, who was this incredible Shakespearean actor who was an absolute douchebag. Like he was the worst, the toxic asshole, horrific, like the worst friend, the worst, like constantly cheating on his wife. But he twice toured America. And this was a massive deal. And the second time he went there, the people in Boston tried to kill him because he'd had a sex scandal back in London.
No way.
And his friend had tried to shoot him because he'd been sleeping with his friend's wife. And his friend had tried to shoot him. He ran away to America to get away from it. But the Bostonians had already hated him from his first time they'd been there because he'd been a real asshole the first time. So they rushed the stage and tried to murder him.
Shut up. Oh, God. What was his routine? What was his stand-up? Like, shagged your wife?
So he's my favourite. He's amazing. And his story is incredible. So he's how I begin the book, because he literally has overnight fame, like literally overnight, as in like Monday morning.
So he's a viral hit.
He's a viral hit in 1814.
What?
And within a week, people like in London are like, who's this guy? Within a month, he's the most famous man in Europe.
That's just word of mouth.
Yeah. And newspapers. Yes, the power of newspapers.
Oh, my Lord.
So the book is about like all the different ways that, you know, I'm trying to sort of explore where celebrity culture comes from, right? Yeah. And all the ways that celebrity culture can permeate through economics and through ordinary life, but also how we have ethical conversations about right and wrong, how to raise our kids, yada, yada, yada. But also it's just, you know, there's lots of fun stories of like completely amazing people from the past who you've never heard of, but who are incredibly famous.
Do you think they're good for society?
Yeah, I do. I think celebrity culture is generally productive. I think it has a really important place in society.
It's aspirational, I suppose, as well, in some sort of way.
Well, it's not just aspirational. It helps us have these ethical conversations as a society, because we unite through discussing mutual strangers, right? So there's this thing, you know, parasocial intimacy, where you might think you know someone because you've seen them on the TV and you kind of feel like they're your friend, but they don't know who you are. You've never met them. They look at you and go, but you're like,
yeah.
So like if you sat next to Tom Hanks on a plane, you'd just be like, Forrest Gump! And you wouldn't be, you know, you'd want to do it. And he'd be like, who are you? Sorry, please leave me alone. I'm trying to have my in-flight meal. And so that's parasocial intimacy. So that's a sort of a strange sensation of intimacy with a stranger because we've been...
Oh, my God.
So Russell Brand, I've listened to his podcast since I was quite young. And so I've listened to them so frequently that you feel so... Mm-hmm. Almost like they feel like your mate. It's a bit weird. Yeah, I'm like, if I saw him, I'd be like, all right, mate. I think I'd freak out a little bit.
Yeah, you do.
It's quite an odd thing.
And that's what I'm sure many of your listeners will probably feel for both of you. You know, if they bump into the street, they're like, oh, you know, selfie time, amazing, it's fantastic.
Not happened.
Well,
he was hungover in a supermarket and a guy bought him a bottle of wine. Because he didn't have his wallet on him. How low is that?
Charitable cause.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, it's a good Samaritan.
But yes, the celebrity culture, I think, is a very... the thing that people often get wrong, and this is a very, very common argument I hear all the time, is this idea of famous of being famous, which I'm imagining, no offence, but I'm imagining has been flung at both of you probably a couple of times.
I worked hard to get where I am. So what you're talking about.
Sorry. But like it's a line, right? So it comes from a philosopher in the 1960s who sort of came up with that line.
Screwed me.
But in fairness, people were already saying it in the 1780s.
Oh, God.
So there's a book in the 1780s by a guy called Thomas Busby.
So it goes really far back.
And he was complaining about celebrities who were famous for having no skill, no talent. He doesn't understand why they're famous.
So we've been complained about since the 1700s. Still kicking around.
So people like, have you heard of Casanova?
Yeah.
Okay, so he desperately wanted to be famous in the 1700s.
Did he?
And he tried loads of different routes. He tried like being a conversationalist, which was a thing you could do. It's like a podcaster.
Yeah.
He tried being a duelist. He ended up as a librarian.
Shit, is this me?
He didn't try Made in Chelsea, though. That's, you know, he was missing a trick.
He would have done. I mean, he absolutely would have been first on the list to show up and be on that show.
He would have been on Coach Trip, 100%. He'd be straight on that.
Horse and carriage trip.
But he tried loads of different ways.
He tried loads of ways to be famous, and there are lots of people at the time who are like, who is this guy? What, like, he's just always at the party trying to be famous.
So he became famous for just
because a Casanova is now is like a term that you use to sort of
so that's the weird thing.
But he was the person who then slept with those people.
Well, so he wrote an incredible diary, which is how we know so much about him, and so we have his memoirs, right? So we now know that he was
the only problem I always think with memoirs is they could, because they're writing themselves, they could just be chatting shit. I nailed
Papillon
today. Yeah,
Papillon's nine prime birds. Example. So wait, hang on. So he wrote this diary. We have a huge amount of memoir.
Yeah. So his memoir's extremely famous. He's very controversial. He slept around a lot, and people often sort of kind of say, "Oh, what a Casanova." He did some horrific stuff. I won't say it here.
No, do say it. So go on, say it.
horrible abuse of his own family members sexually. God.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, like really horrible. And I'm not going to like go into it anymore.
It's go into
really,
it.
No, honestly, it's really, it's not
is
nice.
It really horrific.
You
really
can't, nasty. You can't, we can't so, use that term anymore.
So when you say someone's a real Casanova, careful what you mean by that.
Careful what you mean by that.
Yeah, he was a nasty piece of work in
his life. Why do people do that to their family members? I don't
know.
Watch out your hand.
Not touching. Hands off on that one. It's a horrible, horrible thing. But so, yeah, Casanova's a classic example. Another would be Kitty Fisher, who was a courtesan in the 18th century. So she was a high-class sex worker who charged for her services. And famously, she was known as the 100-pound miss because she had slept with a duke, I think it was, and he'd only paid her 100 pounds for her services, which at the time is thousands and thousands of pounds. And she was so outraged, she ate it in a sandwich.
She ate the money, ate
the £100 note in a sandwich, and became known as the £100 miss.
That would have gone. Oh, that would have gone viral on TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So it's the equivalent of someone giving you like a 50 grand tip, and you sort of like flushing it down the loo.
Oh
and going,
my god, this is just fascinating. Okay, I want another thing. So okay, I can just sit with you for hours.
Wait, I've got questions.
No, shush, my turn. my turn. Okay, who was the most horrific killer? Back, not get, you had the impaler. Who was
Ivan?
Well, Vlad the Impaler.
Ivan the Terrible,
and then Ivan the Terrible. Yeah,
Ivan.
Yeah. Hello,
hello, I'm Ivan.
Ivan Groshny is.
Who was the worst? Like, who was the worst? You know, Hannibal was pretty bad, wasn't he?
What, Hannibal of Carthage?
You're thinking
of the serial killer in the
book. Who's the one who took all the elephants over?
Yeah, Hannibal of Carthage. He
cut out his own eyeball, didn't he? Because he couldn't see out of it.
I can't remember about that. I think he might have had a cataract surgery. Not quite the same.
He made a soup out of someone's brains.
Wait, so who was really horrific back then?
Well, there are loads of people. I mean, history is full of horrific violence. And
yeah, it is. That's the thing.
We're a weird breed, aren't we? We just love fucking each other.
Horrible Histories is also, as a kid show, that we have a lot of fun with this. And yeah. Sometimes you have to kind of go, is this okay for kids?
The Casanova episode was especially.
No, we haven't done that. But yeah, so Vlad the Impaler famously.
What did he used to do?
He would sit and eat his food whilst people were impaled in front of him, right?
The story goes, I can't remember the exact details, so apologies. Oh, any historians watching who are like, that's not quite right.
I reckon you get done that so many times on Twitter. They're going
to
go,
you have to always apologize to the historians. Bloody Jenna with his lies again.
Jenna, he thinks he's young, he's not anymore.
Why did they give him a voice?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to get cancelled now. I think if I'm remember rightly, Vlad the Impaler is king, I think, of Wallachia, and he was his defense strategy to protect his kingdom against the expanding Ottoman Empire was to try and terrify them. So it's psychological warfare.
Yeah.
What he does is he impales, I think it's something like 20,000 people, impales them through the rectum on spikes and makes a human fence. So
that is horrific.
The idea being that when the Ottomans arrive,
were they alive when they did that? They
presumably, and
so, oh my lord,
like maybe not, but you know, horrific, right? And so the idea being that when you get to the border, you're an invading army, you see a human fence, and you go, holy fuck, if he'll do that to his own people, what will he do to us, right? Let's go home.
So it's like in the movie 300 where they make a wall out of the dead Persians.
That's not as bad. That's nothing as bad. What are you talking about?
I'm making a sort of more accessible reference.
I'm sorry. Right,
okay, Jesus. Sorry.
Yes, that film is bullshit. That's a lot of lies in that film. It's lots of nonsense.
Leonidas, he's got to be real, that guy.
I love it when you say that to a historian. They'll get so upset because they know it's bullshit. It's like, it just annoys me.
You've ruined my two biggest followings, which is Aliens and 300.
I've done a podcast about it if you want to know the truth. It's a fun movie, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Those abs that they all had.
But the abs are all CGI, right? They're not real.
Oh, God, he's gone that deep. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, do you have a question?
I have two. Well, yeah. One leads on to the other.
Never once in the podcast gone, do you have a question?
I know. Can we just carry on? What do you say to kids? Because this is like probably the famous question about history. Why is it useful when they go, well, what's the point?
History is, it's everything, right? There have been 108 billion people who have walked our planet. So currently the planet's population is, what, 7 billion, something like that? So 108 billion people. So if you think about like all the stories there are in the world right now, there have been 100 billion before us. Mm. And to study history is obviously fascinating. You've responded to me saying some stuff and you've gone, oh, that's exciting, that's interesting. So it's a curiosity thing, that's nice. It's also, it can be helpful. It can help us understand who we are. It can help us understand who we want to be as a society. It can help us answer questions about who we want to be, where we want to go, policy questions about right and wrong, and should we do this and yes and no. There's also something about the empathy of it. Yeah. To study the past is to understand how other people used to think. And they often thought differently to us. They have different mentalities, different ways of perceiving the world, language, time even. And so it can make you a more sympathetic and empathetic person to study other people and to allow yourself to think like someone else so that then when you meet someone else who's different to you, you can kind of go, okay, I'm going to try and see it from your point of view. So it can be useful in that way.
Oh my God. So just quickly, one second. That's why I've said for so long.
You didn't say exactly like that.
No, it didn't say exactly like that. So I did therapy, right? I continued doing therapy because I like the self-awareness of understanding how other people think.
Yeah.
Because then when you go into a room and you see someone act a certain way, you understand them. Rather than just realizing you're the only person that exists, you become self-aware. And I realized what happened to me is I became a nicer person. I felt myself becoming nicer because of it.
Yeah.
And so that's an ancient thing, to study individuals. You then automatically become a nicer person.
Well, not for me. I'm a bastard, obviously.
Yeah. You're a real Casanova. No.
Hope not.
He really so upset about Casanova.
Absolutely. I would argue that studying history should be something that, you know, hopefully it's just an enjoyable thing to do because it's human curiosity. We all like other people's lives. That's why we like gossiping over the garden fence and reading Heat magazine. But I think that it brings many different qualities, you know, the important things in terms of like, you know, language skills, reading and writing, critical thinking, all of that stuff, understanding evidence, what to trust, what not to trust. These are important
skills. I studied
skills.
History at uni. I thought I should just let
did
that
you?
At the end.
What did you do your dissertation on?
Irish emigration to America. And I do not...
His eyes went so wide there. It's like he's back in there going, shit, I'm writing about... I don't have any clue.
I loved history, but uni... My schedule was very busy, so I kind of let things go a little bit. In my third year, I was so fucking bad. We're only supposed to do like 1 hour of lecture a week,
right?
You're supposed to do 38 hours of reading. So obviously I did no reading and I didn't even go to the hour lecture. I was like, what's the fucking point? You had to choose a tutor to look after your dissertation project and all this type of stuff. And I basically just left it till like literally the last minute, and every tutor had been taken. And the only tutor that was left, she's going to hate if she's listening, only did Irish history, which I knew fuck all about. And I was like, well, let's at least try and make it like a little bit more exciting. We'll talk about like emigration to America. I couldn't tell you one thing about, other than the fact that I know that they went over there. And they set up some places. And they,
so your dissertation is just like, I'm pretty sure they did get on the boats.
I was on track for a first. The dissertation was so bad that it pulled me down. I got like 67%.
But Alex, what he does is he loves information and things like that. And also, I think...
It's the nicest thing you've ever said.
No, but you do. And you are highly intelligent there. You do, you know, I'll say something about, I don't know... hair loss or whatever, and you go, well, it's because, you know, you have different things, and I'm a sponge because I'm not much of a reader, but how I learn is from other people, and that's why I love getting that information across. You know, as a historian, big question is then, where do you stand on religion? Sorry, is that too big?
I need to do my second question.
Okay, sorry. Sit with that one.
Because it leads on. Okay. So talking about the uses of history, and now looking at where we are as a civilization, if you talk about, I guess, the planet, because we're kind of a global civilization. And a lot of people will say that we're kind of heading towards pretty weird dodgy, dangerous times.
Sure.
Where can we look at history where there's almost like a mirror as to what was going on and the collapse? Because a lot of people say that we're now in this period where greed and opulence has just become so extreme that we're kind of in that down phase where everything's about to sort of fall out of its arse and we're all going to start shagging in the streets.
Sorry,
and killing
is this
each
an
other.
Upbeat podcast as well?
Yeah. Well, we've spoken about paedophilia and impaling.
I was expecting questions about bums. So this
this is great. This is a really good question.
Well, no, because you're constantly bombarded today by the negativity of where things are headed. And it is quite scary. We've got like corporatization of everything is kind of fucking up. A lot of stuff in the planet is falling apart.
Yeah.
So there's a famous quote by someone. I can't remember what you'll hopefully know it because I can't remember any
word. Probably not. I'm not good at quotes, actually. It's one of my areas. Yeah.
Don't worry, I am. Tell me.
I can't even remember.
Walt Disney.
It was Kendall Jenner. She once said, "This latte is especially spicy."
But what's the gist of it?
It's basically, I can't remember.
this is your dissertation.
It was someone writing in the Independent or something. They'd been to Salt Bay guy's restaurant. They'd sat outside and they basically said that what was happening in the restaurant was essentially a mirror to, like, you know, this is ridiculous steaks that they're covering in gold and they're charging $5,000 for it.
Yeah.
And it's basically just
that's always happened.
How ludicrous things have become. We're now in a period of complete excess. Do you know what I mean?
That's an issue.
I can't remember what the fucking code is.
But what do you think? Can we look back at a time and go, oh, we're in that area or no?
Yes. Okay.
Sorry, why you change everyone's opinions?
And then once you've done that, can we invert it?
And then can you quickly tell me about Casanova? Because I am.
And then do a backflip out the window.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not a historian of everything. Yeah, one of these sort of issues of being a historian is people always ask you about all history. And it's like, I haven't studied all history. My job is to sort of try
from start to finish.
Yeah, exactly. I'm fairly comfortable with most periods, but I'm not a specialist in anything. I think, and also I would say the last time I was on a sort of podcast, a comedy podcast about 5 years ago, someone said, oh, what's next for the planet? And I joked, plague. And I now get sent that episode like twice a week. People are like, bloody Greg Jenner, you.
Yeah, but it's true. Bastard. But it is a plague.
I think he was talking about the actual pandemic.
But the pandemic. because they historically come around every 100 years. So I just knew there was one coming. And
Spanish flu.
We were owed one, yeah. So
Greg Jenner, sorry, are you serious?
They deviate a lot. But yeah, historically, you get pandemics very frequently.
Spanish flu killed like 50 million.
Spanish flu was devastating. Devastating.
More people than the war, wasn't it, or something crazy?
Yeah. So it's 1919. It was this, and it was it's horrific because it specifically targeted the healthy. So COVID is obviously horrible and horrific. We've lived through it so much, but obviously it's gone primarily after those who are already vulnerable. Spanish flu hit like people in their kind of peak, in their prime.
Wow.
Everyone was rushing down to McDonald's to become unhealthy.
Wow. I did not know that about
Spanish. So it was a really odd one, and it was horrible and devastating and fascinating when you actually look into the history of it. And they did a lot of the things we've been doing. They shut down cinemas. They quite a lot of the protocols that we've been using were there in 1920 or whatever.
Did they work? Clearly not.
Yeah, sometimes they did, yeah. There are cyclical loops in history and in the past, of course there are. And it's very difficult as a historian to figure out where we're going next because the past is different to the future. Obviously, there are all these changing variables, right? They've got an expanding population. We've got global warming, which is obviously the existential threat par excellence. We then also, have the instability in the sort of economics of the world where we do have phenomenal imbalances in wealth in terms of like, there are like 10 people in the world who own
Elon Musk made $36 billion two days ago.
He literally in an afternoon went, "Bajing!" His PayPal account
just
only
made 35. He was livid.
They became a trillion, didn't they? First car.
And that is something that is ludicrous. Of course, it is, but it's not totally new. And then again, it's also not like a repeating pattern. You know, there was what's called the Gilded Age in America in the sort of 1890s, where we had something similar, where you had the people like. The Vanderbilts and Rockefellers, you know, who are incredibly wealthy, possibly the wealthiest people of all time.
Yeah.
When you then do that inflation calculation thing. And obviously there were incredibly wealthy Romans. There were incredible, you know, Crassus was a wealthy Roman who was said to sort of have ludicrous
wealth.
Is
that where Crass comes from?
I don't know if that's... I don't know. That's a good question. But he was a slumlord. So he was an absolute bastard who would wait for people's houses to catch on fire. And then he would... He had a private fire brigade. So there was no real fire brigade. He had his own fire brigade. And he would turn up and he would say, "I will buy your house off you for 1/10 of the price." and then he'll put out the fire, and then he'll sell it to the next person and become a slumlord to that person. So basically, he'd wait for your house to catch fire.
I mean, it's actually very clever. But
it's so, horrifically efficient business model.
Yeah. Time's ticking. Sign the contract. Yeah, yeah.
So he literally would say, "I'll give you 10% for your house's worth," and they'd be like, "But it's on fire," and they'd be like, 5%. And so you, and that's how.
Sounds
you
like a really, really awful game show.
Yeah, it is. It's sort of like an evil, evil game show.
An efficient business.
So there have been lots of people through history, and Jakob Fugger in the 1500s, who was like a banker who was so wealthy, again, possibly one of the wealthiest of all time. Mm. He was so rich that he kind of decided the fate of European politics because he appointed the Holy Roman Emperor. He basically was like kind of bribed into sort of like, you pay me, I'll support you, and ended up choosing who would be the most powerful man in Europe. Mm. So you have these sort of incredibly famous people, incredibly rich people throughout history who have obviously wielded enormous power over others and have shaped the tides of stuff. The problem we have now, obviously, is global warming, where we have to do something drastic.
You would have thought, as it's this existential threat that actually involves all of us, it would hopefully become a unifying thing. We've now got this problem that we can all fight, but I feel like we probably won't because we're so good at being divided. I just think
that's so interesting to hear that. I think we should...
Our podcast is going green, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, we're going to come.
You're going to recycle
neutral.
Me.
Yeah,
you're going to put me in the green bin.
Thank you for your emissions. Yeah. Okay, but before we end, because Greg, we've taken up far too much. I know. Can we get you on again? Greg?
Yeah. This is lovely.
I need to ask about my ancestor.
Go on then.
If you know Mad Jack Mitton.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mad Jack. He was a character.
Yeah.
Are you descended from him?
Yeah, he's descended.
Our family, I'm a Mitton. So
are you?
Our family were the Mittens of Garth, I think, or of Girth, but
nice.
And they were the Mittens of something else, but we were the cousins, I think. I'm not sure.
So he's a descendant of Mad Jack Mitton,
He's sort of heralded as like one of the sort of great British eccentrics. I think if he was alive today, he probably would have been sectioned. But it was also that.
Going hard on him. It was a complete arsehole.
Well, it was that period of history where Britain, again, there was this mad opulence where it was like, oh, I want a tiger. They'd fly, they'd fly it in
by eagle.
Yeah, that's how opulent it was.
1,000 pigeons to sort of go, ah, and the tiger's trying to eat the pigeons. It's like, ah.
Was he a strange guy?
Yeah, so Mad Jack Mitton is, again, we have to be sensitive to the possibilities of mental health issues here. But yes, he was renowned for doing pretty weird stunts.
Like what?
He would crash his carriage on purpose.
He said to his driver, "Have you ever crashed, sir?" And the driver went, "No." And he went, "Yeah, you have now." And they pulled the reins and they flew off a ravine or something.
He turned it up. He basically up a gully and flipped it.
Yeah.
He would go duck shooting in the winter naked.
What a legend. So
his gun that he would go duck shooting was on Antiques Roadshow.
Oh,
someone sent it to me on Instagram. Yeah, so funny.
Yes. He famously, I think, tried to ride a horse upstairs and out a window.
He rode it into a restaurant,
or a hotel, I think it was. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. The funniest is he bribed everyone of his constituents to get into Parliament. A tenner each was like equivalent to £1 million.
That was standard at the time.
I think that's how you got into Parliament.
Yeah,
right?
the
Rotten Borough. So he got into Parliament. Obviously, was there for 30 minutes. I'm like, well, this is fucking shit, and never came back.
So he's just mad.
He turned up to Cambridge. I think he went to Cambridge with 6,000 bottles of port or something, and no books. He didn't get a degree.
Yeah, there are quite a lot of eccentrics like that, and he's one of the sort of really fun ones. And there's some really extraordinary people from that period of history who, yeah, I mean, Lord Byron turned up to Cambridge and they had a no dogs rule, so he showed up with a bear.
That's
Mad Jack Mitton rode into a party on a bear. I've got a painting of it in my flat.
That's what? Right. So yeah. there is a sort of golden era of slightly sort of kooky British eccentrics.
Oh my god!
There's a little bit of a revision on British history though, so I'm like, I don't know if I want to be associated with it.
Can we get you back on?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not even kidding you. I want to do everything. So many. God, so many things.
What do you want to do? Marry him.
Yeah, I think I do. I think I do. Listen, also, Greg, you have an amazing podcast, You're Dead to Me, which is on the BBC. It's a BBC podcast. You can get it on all platforms, I think.
It's on all the platforms. It's called You're Dead to Me.
Yeah, it's
and
amazing.
Yeah, it's a history show where I pair up a top historian with a top comedian and we have a funny chat about a different historical subject.
It is
epic.
It's so good. Honestly, it's incredible. So go and listen to that. How many series?
We're just finishing series 4.
Yeah, now. Series 4. Yeah, it's amazing. And the one that I like was all about nursery rhymes and
fairy tales.
It was so great. And about how so dark and twisted.
Are messed up. They're really messed up, but they're so interesting. Yeah, we try and do a huge variety because a lot of people, I think, when they hear history, they kind of go,
it's great.
At school. So we try and do a bit of everything. We've got one coming up on the history of ice cream soon. We've done the history of high heel shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
We've done Ancient medicine, which is like bonkers.
History
like,
of chocolate.
History of chocolate we did with Richard Osman. We've done, you know, the Spartans, so the 300 movie, if you want, and the Aztecs and ancient China, medieval China and stuff. But history of football, if you like that. History of, like, we've done a really fun kind of escape artist in the 18th century called Jack Shepherd, who was amazing at getting out of prison.
So Ben Shepherd.
Jack Shepherd, who is, yeah, and he's a phenomenal celebrity as well. So, like, we've just do...
Have,
we
you,
do
have
like
you done a, the history of misogyny? Because you could get Jamie on.
We did do witch trials. So the European witch trials, which was a fairly... quite a lot of misogyny in that. A lot of
shut up, Mad. You saw going to take a deep breath when you said you were related to Mad Jack Benson. He went, oh, God. Yeah. And he acted really calm. Oh, God. It is an amazing... And also your books, everything. Where can we get your books from? Amazon?
Amazon, Waterstones, wherever you like them. Yeah, Matt, I've got three books and the new one came out today.
Congrats.
Thank you. So it's called Ask a Historian. So it, like you guys have been doing, you know, people ask me questions and I've done my best to answer them with sort of jokes.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
So yeah, it's a really lovely thing where you get to answer people's questions because then you know, at least you know then you're... Not normally, I'm slightly nervous that when I write about stuff, I'm like, do people care?
Oh my God, people care.
But if you get a question,
if you've already
from
been
someone,
asked, yeah,
you've
yeah.
been there, you're like, at least one person will buy the book. Right.
People care. And you know, follow yourself on social media. Right?
Yeah, I love Twitter. I mean, I'm on Insta too, but like Twitter
you
is.
Follow yourself on
you
social
follow
media.
You can follow myself.
follow
myself on Twitter.
It's the one person you don't like follow out of the 11,000.
It's some weird Pied Piper. Follow myself.
Yeah, no, Twitter is where I spend most of my time. So come say hi if you want.
Okay, honestly, it's been an absolute joy.
Thoroughly,
and I want you back on so soon. So I honestly, if you're free, I really want you back on. What we normally do at the end of the podcast is ask our guests to leave us something inspirational. But I just want to ask you one question. You can do it. Is mermaids, vampires, did they ever exist? Any of those kind of things? Werewolves, anything like that? Unicorns, anything?
Ah, oh, God. Okay, so how do I explain this without disappointing you?
Oh, God.
They have fascinating cultural histories.
Really?
Let's put it that way. So mermaids are widely discussed in the 1500s. Werewolves are a big thing in Germany in the medieval period. There are stories of people supposedly being attacked by were-men. Obviously, there are sort of...
Loch Ness, Bigfoot, anything like that?
Bigfoot, I'm not so sure on. Loch Ness is a 19th century, sort of 20th century myth, really. But, you know, these things have... They have long histories and long heritages. And unicorns, obviously... Are really fascinating too.
I thought you would say, obviously, are real.
Oh, they're real. Oh, yeah, they're real. No, but for a long time, rhinos were understood to be unicorns because of the horn and so on. And so people sort of understood them as sort of one and the same.
Slightly different image riding in on a rhino.
So the most surprising celebrity in my book, Dead Famous, was Clara the Rhino, who in the 1740s was a superstar rhino who toured Europe for 14 years and became a fashion icon. So women
he died on the loo, didn't he? Eating a burger.
She weighed 2 tons and women had horns on their heads as a fashion statement.
Shut up.
And she toured and people, they could get merch, they could like pose for a painting with her. Like, she was a proper rock star.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen with my friend Fox, we were walking past and we were looking at all these pictures of safari things and he pointed to one and he went, oh, look. Look at that. That's a rhinoceros. I went, what? But look, it's a rhinoceros. And I went, what, you mean a rhino? And he went, yeah, that dinosaur. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Jenner, thank you so much. Everybody,
cheers.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are...
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.